of our Lord being on this sea with his disciples in Matthew chapter 14. If you'd like to open your Bibles, beginning at verse 22, Matthew 14, 22. And straightway, Yeshua constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, possibly that mountain Arbel. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Yeshua went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Yeshua spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Yeshua. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried — this is no time for a long prayer, by the way — saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Yeshua stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O you of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I can't help but contrast sitting on this beautiful sea and hearing these men who were once frightened say, "Truly, thou art the Son of God." I can't help but contrast the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock, where in Arabic all around it, it says, "God has no son." I want you to know five simple things here. I think there are lessons here that we could almost spend a day talking about. But let's start with the fact that his example is a reminder to all of us of the need of prayer. He departed to a mountain, away from them, to pray. You know, there's always a blessing to pray with other people. Always. But if that's all you do, and you don't spend time alone with the Lord, there's something wrong. It's insufficient. It's inadequate. It's not what we need. We need to learn to develop our walk with the Lord in private. For what you are in private will eventually come out in public. The fact of the matter is, our Lord often went apart to pray. I like what the old preacher said, "You need to come apart or you will come apart." Secondly, the experience of these disciples is quite a revelation of what we really need in our walk with the Lord. I'll tell you why. Well, first, it reveals how difficult life can be. I don't want to make you sad this morning, but all of us have trouble. Life is a lot like the wind. It says they were tossed with the waves and the wind was contrary. Don't you know that most of what happens in life is contrary to our walk with the Lord? We leave the place of private prayer and fellowship with the Lord to go out into a world that cares little about the Savior. And before many hours of the day have passed, we find ourselves with anger and bad attitudes and depression and maybe worse. And we need to understand that the wind is contrary. The waves will toss you around. Interesting to me how these common little things Yeshua and the Bible writers spoke about. Think for a minute about James. In James chapter 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, there are several constructions in Greek grammar that use the word if. In English, it's always probability, but not so in Greek. If we have one type of class condition, it means if, maybe it's so, maybe it's not. Depends on the circumstance. But we also have one that says if, and it is so. Perhaps it would be better for the translators to have said, since we lack wisdom. Because that's the construction here. It isn't my opinion, nor yours. It's what's in the text. If, and it is so, we lack wisdom. We all lack wisdom. Where do you think wisdom comes from? Innate human ability or knowledge? Wrong. Wisdom comes from God, and it's found in His Word. It not only reveals how difficult life can be, but it reveals how disturbed you and I can become in the midst of it. We read they were troubled, and they cried out for fear. Now, a lot of us get stressed out, bummed out, over something that maybe is incidental, and all of a sudden it becomes a big issue, and we become disturbed. Well, this wind being contrary, these are experienced men. I never really understood this passage until one day, out of these 40 years of coming to Israel, one day I experienced the storm. I thought about praying about it right now. You have never seen a storm in your life till you see it on the Sea of Galilee. We had people hanging on to the posts and everything and their bodies flying into the air. It was so vicious, it was unbelievable. But I've never forgotten it. If the fishermen running this boat turn white, you know we're in trouble. That's what happened here. I don't know what you're disturbed about. Maybe one of the advantages of being here is to get away from it. And then me just bringing it up reminds you of it, what you got to go back home to. Or maybe you're emotionally disturbed about something right now. Maybe it's something you couldn't solve. It was beyond your ability to handle it. And mind you, these fishermen are very experienced, but they couldn't handle it, and they became very disturbed. I learned one day in studying God's Word that God delights in us being so disturbed we can't handle it, because then you need to call upon Him in a way you wouldn't have done had you not been so disturbed. And also, the experience of the disciples reveals how detailed and wonderful is the Lord's watch over us. The Bible says in Mark 6:48, a parallel passage, He saw them toiling in rowing. Now, He was up on that mountain, but He was watching them. Do you know the Lord has been watching you ever since you were born? I like what Pastor Chuck Smith says. The Lord can never take His eyes off of you. Sometimes you feel so all alone. You feel like nobody cares. Life has not treated you well. But there is one who's been watching over you. And He cares. He invites you to cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. The third thing I bring to your attention is the encouragement of the Lord. It's really a reason why we should trust Him. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, what makes me smile is the waves were still pounding Him. You know, it's like almost accusing Him of giving false comfort. Hey, do you know what's going on here? And all He says is, don't get disturbed. I'm here. Don't you know that it's the Lord Himself in the crisis that we need? The one who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The songwriter wrote, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's a reason to trust him. I'm here. Well, then do something. I will, when I want to. The fourth thing is the encounter of Peter with the Lord on the water. And if there's ever anything that teaches us to trust the Lord, it's that. Now, first of all, Jesus didn't elaborate and show him where the rocks were, of course. He just said, come. Come. I thought about that. I went through the Bible looking at the beautiful word, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord invited people to come to him, not to a religious system or a way of doing things. I've already learned from this group that we have every kind of religion imaginable here. You all are from different churches and faiths and beliefs, and you're all, some of you are very opinionated about it. But I just want you to know the one we come to when we come here to study it is Yeshua.
Amen.
The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everything else pales into insignificance as we look at the one who watches over us, who loves us, and says, come. So Peter jumps in the water. Look, everybody criticizes him, but I don't see it that way. I think we ought to give Peter a little hand for his courage. None of the other guys jumped out of the boat. Peter did, and he's walking on water. He's probably really excited. Wow, I tell you, this is terrific. You know, sometimes we're on the mountaintop enjoying the blessings of the Lord. Then the next minute we face trouble, and we forgot what we were looking at. It says he started looking at the wind. It was boisterous. He took his eyes off of the Lord, and the Bible is very clear. Immediately, he began to sink. Life is so much that way. All kinds of stuff comes into your life, and it's so easy to take your eyes off of the Lord. Keep your eyes on him. And, of course, the Bible says immediately, Jesus just put out his hand and caught him. And I love this. He said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter never answered the question, but the question is, you doubted because you took your eyes off of him. Now, here's an interesting little tidbit from the Greek grammar. It's the Greek word merizo, which means to divide, and it comes to mean to be distracted. In Philippians 4, it says, be careful for nothing, or be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which keeps your hearts and minds, it'll keep you through Christ our Lord. Listen, the word be anxious for nothing is the same word. Don't be divided. It means distracted. So what happened to Peter? He got distracted. He started looking at the wind and the trouble around him rather than keeping his eyes on the Lord. And that's when we all begin to sink. But the Lord's hand is there even in the midst of our trouble. I like to think of it as the eye of a hurricane. One day I was in Toledo, Ohio, preaching. A bunch of guys were with me. They had a little musical team. And I was preaching, and in the middle of the service, the ushers came running down and said, we have to get out of here. There's a tornado headed our way. I had never seen a tornado. And I was really excited. So I convinced the other guys who were quite reluctant, and especially they had to do it because I was driving the car. I leaped in the car and headed straight for the tornado. I wanted to see it. Well, as we're getting nearer, out, I can still see this. Out in the cornfield is a bathtub sitting out there. I pulled over the side of the road. I said, let's go see. They said, man, that thing could come and hit. It's all right. Come on, let's go see it. So we went out there to see it, and there was a man in a bathtub, totally naked. He's just kind of waking up. He's all startled. And so one of the guys ran back to the car and got a blanket out of the back of the trunk and covered him. And I said, who are you and where are you from? And he said, I don't know where I am. Last thing I remember, I was on the second floor of my farmhouse, and now I'm here in the field. What happened is the tornado hit on his house. We took him back to his property, and it was totally smashed to the ground. But it picked him up in the eye of the hurricane, his bathtub and all, and took him down the road almost 2 miles and set him down the cornfield. And he was just fine. And then I learned a little bit about what it means to be in the eye of a hurricane. We got it. We got it. You don't suppose that they came close to the boat to disturb us, do you? But we're going to keep our eyes on the Lord, aren't we? Even while the boat rocks. Oh, by the way, there's one more thing. I know what he wants. I know that. I know that. I understand. Be good. Go. One other thing. When they saw what he did, remember it said the wind ceased? That is the same Greek word used for rebuking a demon. By the word of the Lord, the storm is gone. By the word of the Lord, the battery works.
Wow.
But the point is, they knew then who he really is. Wouldn't it be a shame to be out here and hear all this and not to personally know who he is? You see, today and tomorrow, we're going to be hitting this quite hard. And maybe by the time we have a baptism, you'll really understand what I mean when I say, you must be sure that you're committed to who he really is. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege, and I pray, God, that you will help us to understand how great you are, that we put our trust in you. We thank you. In the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.